James chapter 5, verse number 12. James chapter 5, verse number 12. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Our Father, I pray that we would listen to you today. I pray that we would hear from you, that we might live our lives as we're supposed to live as believers. Guide and direct us. Teach us today. We need to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, James is writing to scattered Christians abroad, letting them know that if you're truly saved, if you are truly a believer, if you've truly trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll live differently. You will live differently than this world lives. You will live differently than other people who have not trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. You will live differently than you used to live before you were saved. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a new creature. You are different now that you are saved. And he has covered all kinds of topics, all kinds of things, and shown us in all kinds of different ways how that we as believers are to be different. So when he begins verse number 12 with above all things, that really grabs my attention. Because he said a whole lot. He's talked about a whole lot of different things. And then he says, but above all things. That lets us know, this is really important. This is something we should really understand and live out, because this is something that Christians aren't supposed to be involved in. Yet, too many are. A man sent a letter to the IRS. In it, he wrote, "I can't sleep. I'm miserable. Nothing's going right. I misrepresented my taxes, so I'm sending you $150 to make up for it. P.S. If I still can't sleep, I'll send the rest." That's kind of where we are in the idea of lying, in the idea of dishonesty. Dishonesty in the days the Bible was written was so acceptable that it was almost comical. The swearing mentioned here is mentioned by Jesus Christ as well in Matthew chapter number 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. It was a common practice, basically, of saying, "It's the truth this time, I swear." And basically, if someone tells you, "It's the truth this time, I swear," you get a pretty good idea that they'll do a whole lot of lying. They do a whole lot of not telling the truth. That's why they got to swear this time it is the truth. Well, James says here, don't swear. And the swearing mentioned here is the giving of an oath to say, "I am telling you the truth. I am telling you the truth." Now, the Pharisees, the Jews had twisted God's law into saying, as long as I don't involve God or the name of God in my oath-making, in my swearing, I can go ahead and break my word. It's no big deal. As long as I don't involve God's name in doing it, I can lie. So basically they said, if I swear by heaven, I can lie. If I can swear by the earth, I can lie. If I swear by the city of Jerusalem, I can lie. If I swear by my own head, I can lie. In Matthew chapter 23, he goes ahead and tells them, you're swearing by all kinds of things, the altar and the gold on the altar and the thing, the temple and blah, 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 blah. The whole thing was a joke. They got away with lying bold-faced, and everyone knew it as long as they didn't involve the name of God in their oath-making. All was permissible, all was possible, as long as you did not use God's name. Well, what did Jesus say? What does James say here? Let your yea be yea, and that means let your yes be yes. Let your nay be nay, that means let your no be no. And anything else, Jesus Christ said, is evil. Anything else is evil. James said, or Jesus said, let your yes be yes, let your no be no, anything else is evil. James says, let your yes be yes, your no, no, lest ye fall into condemnation. Lest you fall into condemnation. Do you think dishonesty is a problem today? Shake your heads, make me feel better. You think dishonesty is a problem today? A number of years ago, a book was written. The book was entitled The Day America Told the Truth. The conclusions of that book were, we are a nation of liars. We are a nation of liars. They said in that book that 91% admit, 91% of Americans admit to lying regularly. 20% admitted to lying once a day. 86% said they lied to their parents. 75% said they lied to their friends. 65% said they lied to their boss. 59% said they lied to their kids. 79% said they lied to their brothers and sisters. And 59% said they lied to their spouse. Now, that's what they admitted to. And we're dealing with liars. So the numbers are probably higher. Sad. Yet, we say in America, we value the truth. What is probably the top on most employer lists as desirable traits? Honesty. Honesty. Let's take, single as. You're looking for a spouse. You're looking for a mate. What's the number one thing you want? Honesty. You want someone to be honest. How do we think that our little white lies are little white lies, but everybody else's are downright dishonest? Theirs are real lies. Abraham Lincoln said, he who tells white lies soon becomes colorblind. And that's the truth. Number one, God hates liars. God hates liars. Now James comes here and says, above all things, be honest, is what he's saying here. Above everything else, tell the truth. Don't have to swear you're telling the truth. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Now understand, he has touched on the mouth, he has touched on the tongue, he has touched on our speech in every chapter. Chapter number 1, verse number 26. Chapter number 2, verse number 12. Chapter 3, verses 2 through 11. Chapter 4, verse number 11. In every chapter, he covers the way we talk. Why? Because what comes out of our mouth reveals what's in our hearts. So he says here, be honest in your speech. Don't have to rely on swearing an oath. Don't have to rely on saying, it's the truth this time, I swear it. Tell the truth all the time because God hates liars. Go to Proverbs chapter number 12. You say, Pastor, that sounds kind of harsh. You know, God loves the sinner, but hates the sin. Well, let's let God use his own words to describe what he thinks about it. Amen? Instead of our putting our thoughts into God's mouth, let's find out what God says about it. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 22. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 22. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord. Not lies are abomination to the Lord. Did you notice that? What's an abomination to the Lord? Not lies, but the lips that tell them. The lips that lie them. They are an abomination to God. Go to Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter number 6, verse number 16. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 16. These six things doth the Lord, what's the word? Hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, And he that soweth discord among the brethren. God hates lying so much, he mentions it twice in this list of seven things that he hates. They're an abomination to him. God mentions lying twice here. God hates them. They are an abomination. Now, if you are to read through the Word of God and find out what else God calls an abomination, it might wake you up to let you know how much God hates lying. What else does he call an abomination? Ritual prostitution is an abomination. Homosexuality is an abomination. Bestiality is an abomination. Satanic and occultic activities are an abomination. Human sacrifice is an abomination. Killing of children is an abomination. And God says lying is an abomination. God hates lying. Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament decided that they wanted the applause of man. They wanted to be like Barnabas. Barnabas sold some land. He gave it to the apostles, and the apostles kind of helped people with it. And Barnabas kind of got a nickname, Barnabas. That wasn't his real name. That's the nickname he received, the son of consolation, the son of encouragement, because he was always helping people and consoling people and encouraging people. Well, Ananias and Sapphira liked what he was getting and wanted some of that for themselves. So they went out and sold a piece of land. They brought the price back. They kept some money for themselves and said, here it all is. In other words, they lied. They lied. Peter said, is this all of it? Not that he wanted all of it. He was checking us out. You know, Ananias, I'm trying to give you an out here. Don't lie to the Holy Ghost. And I said, yep. It's all the money we made on the deal. Peter explains, it was all yours. You didn't have to give any of it. You could have kept it all. Why are you lying about this giving? And Ananias dropped dead on the spot. Some young men came and they dragged his body out. His wife comes in next. He starts asking her, did you sell the whole thing for this much money? And she plays along with the lie. Yep, we did. And she drops dead on the spot. Wow. God hates lying. Do you know what would happen if God worked that way today? Wow, you're right. I'd be preaching to an empty church. You can laugh. It's okay. God doesn't work that way. Can we say thank God? That doesn't mean he feels less of hatred toward lying. God hates lying. Number two, God forbids lying. God forbids lying. James says here in this command, above all things, above everything else, important, most importantly, don't swear. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Jesus Christ said it. Let your yea be yea, your no be no, and everything else is evil. Understand, we must tell the truth. Go to Psalm 15. Psalm 15. Look at verse number 1. Psalm 15, verse number 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. The psalmist begins here and says, who walks with God? Who are the type of people that walk with God? What is their character life? What is their life like? Those that really walk with God, those who are saved. Remember, that's what James's book is all about. If you're really saved, this is what you live like. The psalmist is saying the same thing here. Who are those that are really saved? Who are those that walk with God? And he says, first of all, they are those who walk uprightly. I'll bet you'll never guess what the word uprightly here in Psalm 15:2 means. He says, he that walketh uprightly, it means honestly. The truly saved, the ones who walk with God, walk in honesty. Who walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness. What does that mean? They do what's right. Come on. They do what's right. Those who walk with God walk honestly and do what's right. Then he gets to his words in verse number 2. And speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh a reproach against his neighbor. He does what's right. He speaks the truth in his heart. Now, Jesus Christ said, if you remember, it's not what goes into man that defiles him, it's what comes out of the man, because what comes out comes from the heart. And the psalmist says here, those that truly walk with God, those that truly meet with God, those that truly understand God, they speak righteousness in their heart. Well, if they're speaking righteousness and speaking the truth in their heart, what's going to come out of their lips? Truth. That will come out of their mouth as well. Those that walk with God don't gossip. They don't slander, the psalmist says. See, gossip and slander are based on lying. Somehow we get the idea, and I covered this a couple weeks ago because James covered it, that we get the idea that, you know, if it's the truth, then it's not gossip or slander. Well, who comes to you and says, this is a lie, but I'm going to tell you anyway because it's a good, juicy story? No, they always tell you it's the truth. But gossip and slander are always based on lying. And those who walk with God don't do it. You see, people who hear gossip and slander assume it's the truth because they want to believe it's the truth. It paints someone in a picture so bad that they leave no benefit of the doubt whether it's the truth or not. And God says through the psalmist here, those that walk with God don't do that. They don't live that way. They don't talk that way. It's not a part of them. Not only do they not speak it, they don't listen to it. Verse number 3 says, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. He doesn't listen to slander. Doesn't listen to gossip either. Gossip can be carried in the lips. It can be carried in the ear. Both are wrong. Listening to it is just as bad as saying it, because if there was no one to listen to it, no one could say it. And both are sin. Look at verse number 4. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Now, the idea here is this person tells you something and he means it. His word is his bond. Amen. Amen. Even when it's going to hurt him, he tells the truth. Even when his honesty might cost him something, this verse says. The one that walks with God tells the truth. You see, I can look out for myself by lying, or I can look out, I can let God look out for me by telling the truth. Which way are we going to be better off? God hates lying. God forbids lying. What's the oath that you take when you go into court and you're a witness and you're swearing to tell the truth? You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That means you're swearing to tell the truth. Nothing above it, an exaggeration, because that's a lie. Nothing below it where you are withholding information, that's a lie. The truth is the truth, nothing more and nothing less. And we are to tell the truth. The truth. Exaggerations, half-lies are all lies. Anything more or less than the truth is a lie, and it should not be part of our lives. James says, let your yea be yea, your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. God hates lying. God forbids lying. Number three, God will judge liars. God will judge liars. God says in the Word of God, I will cut you off. I will cut you off. Go to Proverbs chapter number 19. Proverbs chapter number 19. Verse number 5. Proverbs chapter number 19, verse number 5. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. God said, I will cut you off. Look at verse number 9. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. God's getting serious about this thing, amen? He hates lying. He forbids lying. He will judge liars. God says, I will cut you off. Proverbs chapter number 11, God says, it will catch up with you. It will catch up with you. Proverbs chapter number 11, verse number 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit, not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteous of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. The very thing you want by lying is the very thing you will lose when you lie. Think about it for a moment. You're doing business with some local business here in town. Mom and pop store, they're owned by somebody locally. You're doing business, and all of a sudden, they're lying to you about something. You know they're lying to you. You've caught this businessman in a lie. What are you going to do? Well, number one, you're not going back to that business. And number two, you're telling everybody you know, don't go to that guy. Don't go to that person. They're liars. They're not honest. They're not trustworthy. You can't deal with them. And the very thing they wanted was your business. They're going to end up losing because they lied to you. Lying always catches up to you. Come on. Always. God knows it, and God says so. You see, it is the character of the unsaved to lie, not the character of the saved. Go to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Verse number 20. Ephesians chapter number 4. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Verse number 27, neither give place to the devil. He's saying, now that you're saved, you're different. Now that you're saved, you've been changed. Now that you're saved, you don't act that way anymore. You put off the deeds of the old flesh. You put off the old way of living. You put on Jesus Christ. Live differently. And the first thing he says to put off is lying. Don't do it. Why? It gives place to the devil. It gives the devil a foothold in your life. You see, it's the character of the lost, not the saved, to lie. Go back to James chapter number 5. Verse number 12. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Now, while the words above all things jumped out at me, so did the word condemnation. See, the word condemnation here is never used for the saved, ever in the New Testament. This word here is not speaking about judgment the saved might fall into because they've done wrong. And the believers do sin, they do what's wrong, and God judges them, God spanks them. Amen? Amen. But the word condemnation is never used for the saved in the Word of God. So as James begins this verse, above all things, my brethren, he's saying, don't be a liar or you will fall into condemnation. Now we know the Bible teaches you cannot lose your salvation once you're saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God for that. Amen. But he also says, you'll fall into condemnation, which means you weren't saved in the first place. The whole book of James is about, if you're truly saved, this is how you'll live. If you're truly saved, this is how you'll act. If you're truly saved, this is how you will behave. He says, above all things, lying is not a part of your life. If it is, you're not saved. You're going to fall into condemnation. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Once you get saved, you can no longer be under God's condemnation. Amen. Amen. He's saying, so if you're saved, lying should not be a part of your life. And if lying is a patterned part of your life, you're probably not saved. If lying is who you are, not just what you do every now and then, you're not saved. If when someone asks you a tough question, the first thing you think about is a lie, you're probably not saved. James said, be careful. Christians don't act this way. But I've got good news. John chapter 3 tells us that Jesus Christ did not come into the world to condemn the world. You see, the world is already condemned. We are born sinners. We are born liars. We are born enemies of God. Jesus Christ did not come into the world to condemn the world. Jesus Christ came to free us from that condemnation. He came to save us from that condemnation. He came to pay our sin penalty in full that we might be saved. Amen. And the believers are no better than anyone else. We were all born sinners as well. Believers just realized they were sinners, repented of that sin, and trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Amen. And because of that, we have been changed. Amen. But unbelievers have not. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, verse number six, that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Now, the only way to change is to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. And James explains fully through his whole book, the saved are changed. Oh yeah, they'll do stupid things every now and then. Yeah, they'll tell a lie every now and then, but they will be convicted. They will repent of it. They will get right with God. But if it's a lifestyle, if it's a patterned way of life, you're not saved. Get saved today. Amen. The good news is, while you are under condemnation, you don't have to stay that way. Jesus Christ came to save you. Jesus Christ came to keep you from hell. And he did so by going to the cross in your place, paying your sin penalty in full. All the lies that you've ever told were paid for by the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you will come to him repenting of your sin, the Bible says, you shall be saved. Amen. Forgiven. Changed. A believer. And on your way to heaven. It's your choice. It's your decision. God wants you to be saved. He sent Jesus Christ to prove it, to pay for it. What do you want? What are you going to do today? Our Father, thank you for all that you've done. Thank you so much for the Word of God, for the clear understanding that lying should not be a part of our lives now that we're saved. And if it's a pattern part of our life, habitual practice in our life, we're probably not saved. So Lord, work in every heart right now. I pray that each of us would examine ourselves. And I pray we would understand that lying should not be part of the Christian life. Lord, if there's anyone in here who is unsaved, show them that's their greatest need. Show them you've already met it in Christ on the cross. Lord, bless. Draw each of us to you today, right now. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, you're with us this morning. You say, Pastor, I am saved. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know beyond any shadow of a doubt my sins are forgiven and I'm on my way to heaven. I'm saved and I know it. Put your hand up as a testimony to that fact. You're saved, you know what? Put your hand up. Amen. God bless you. That's great. Amen. Amen. You put your hands down. Amen. Amen. Christian, our lives should not be marked by what the unsaved do, how the unsaved live, how the unsaved speak. We should be different. Every now and then, selfishly, we do something sinful. But we're convicted, and we run right back to God, and he takes care of it. Amen. You say, Pastor, I'm not right with God right now. The Holy Spirit is spoken to my heart, and I need to make sure that I am. Pray for me, Pastor. I want to get right back to God right now. Anyone like that, put your hand and put it back down. Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 God bless you. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I don't know that my sins have been forgiven. I don't know I'm on my way to heaven. You said condemned. I don't want to be condemned. Pastor, I've never been saved. Would you pray for me? Or I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that, put your hand up, put it back down. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure. I don't know. Anyone like that, we love you here. We want to pray for you. We want to see you saved. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not saved. Anyone at all, just slip your hand up, put it back down. Our Father, I pray you'd bless now as we make decisions. Lord, you spoke into our hearts through your word. I pray that we would listen to the still small voice of the Spirit of God and say yes to what you are commanding us to do. For the saved, Lord, we need to make sure we're right with you, that we're not living a lifestyle that looks more like a lost individual than a saved individual. Help us to get right with you. Work in every heart. For the unsaved, any who may be in our midst, Lord, show them clearly their need for Jesus Christ. Show them they are sinners and they are condemned. But Jesus Christ came to save them. Lord, draw them to you today. Bless in our decisions. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand, grab a hymn book right in front of you, and turn to page 390. If God has spoken to your heart, right now is the time for you to make a decision, to make a commitment about Jesus Christ has spoken to your heart about. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. We invite you to respond to God's calling in your heart. If you're saved and you need to get something right with God, now is the time to do it. If you're unsaved and need to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, now is the time to do it. I'll be waiting for you right down front. If you need to speak to me, you come. If you need to be saved, you come. I'll have someone take a Bible, show you how you can know that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. As we sing, verse number one, the invitation is for you right now. What does God want you to do? As we sing, you come.